Okay, well, it shows we are recording.
Okay.
All right, let's do the legal stuff first. I have to do this by California law.
Okay.
Yeah, Ari, is it okay for me to record this?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, and is it okay for me to use this in our marketing?
Sure.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Okay, well, let's get started right away. Ari, how do you pronounce your last name?
Oh, my last name is Othetis.
Othetis. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Ari Othetis. And you live in Calgary, is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
All right, that's cool. What's the weather there? Pretty good?
Oh, right now it's pretty cold, but...
Is it? Okay. Okay.
Half the year it's cold, half the year it's nice.
Yeah. Let's get started with finding out a little bit about you. Now, we know that you're very into handicapping horses. And how did you get started in this? How did you first get interested in being a handicapper?
Well, I think like a lot of people who are in the game, you know, my family, you know, a lot of them liked horse racing. Some of them were dog racing fans. You'd go to the track, you'd see the races, you liked the whole game. But it wasn't until I was maybe about 15 that I really decided that, you know, I wanted to make a go of this, you know, and study the form and do more than just be a recreational player.
Okay, so you started with when you were 15. Would it be improper for me to ask you how many years you've been working at this?
About 25 years.
25 years, okay. All right, good. And how do you rank yourself as being successful?
Well, I would say much more successful when I started, you know, being in the early 90s. You know, I was more of a pattern handicapper and a form handicapper.
Okay.
Then I made my own figures. So, you know, back then, you know, the pools were large. There were lots of overlays. Figure handicapping wasn't very popular. And with a win four, or pick four, I guess the way you called it, there'd be lots of overlays there. So someone can make a lot of scores. And, you know, you're making, you know, let's say 80 or 90 cents on the dollar. So you're making some decent money.
All right.
But, of course, you know, with when things change, though, and everybody has figures and there's handicapping became more prominent and everybody's educated, the ROI tended to shrink. So we don't make as much as we used to.
All right. Okay, cool. Well, now, you did take the course from the Body Language Training Academy. And before you started putting those principles in place, what were your impressions about the course when you first saw it as far as content, presentation, usability, and that kind of thing?
Well, I think when I got the course, you know, I thought the videos were pretty good at getting the messages across in a clear and concise manner. And they were just about the right length of time to convey the material. The format of learning one thing at a time, you know, helps me to absorb the ideas, you know. When you have too many things at once, it's hard for people to learn, but here you can just learn one idea at a time. And that
okay.
made it very easy.
All right, cool. So it didn't scare you when you first went into the course. Okay.
No, right. No, it was much easier than reading books, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, yes, it's that's the difference between today and 20 years ago. 20 years ago, we just had books. And you can get a lot more across in a video than you can in just books and still pictures, right? So
that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So after using after you completed the course and after using the principles for a few days, tell us what your first impressions were about what you were going through.
Well, I think what you notice right away, I think, is how many details you miss when watching the horses. You see them come out, you might see them warm up, but until you actually take the course, you're not going to realize how many things you're missing. And you start to see them more as individuals. So you'll see that different age of horses will act differently and they'll have peculiar behaviors. But when you look at the patterns and you pick up a few, you'll find yourself on horses that you wouldn't have played otherwise. And that was the big help.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Now, how many races did you record by the time you completed your total evaluation of the course?
I had done 97 races from various tracks and services.
Okay. And tell me about your final results from all of your testing.
Well, even though the sample size was small, I found a good percentage of the horses were either they had won or were in the money. So I had about 39% winners at an average mutual of $10.
Okay, and is that pretty good?
Well, it's more than I was handicapping at before I took the course.
Oh, super. Okay, all right. I remember you telling me somewhere along the line about the course helping you with not only picking the winners, but throwing out favorites.
That is correct. I mean, it's not so much about making money. You know, making money is one way to look at things, but it's also about how much money you save. If you see a horse, let's say, that has 4 seconds in a row and you say, well, I'm going to bet this horse to place. And then you go out, get out there, and you look, and you see the horse has a few physical attributes that are on the negative side. And then you hold back, and you see the horse run last all the way. Now you have a positive feeling. You've saved money. And it makes a difference on the bottom line, the way with takeout is and how heavy the competition is. You save a couple bets a day or even a couple of big bets a week, you're going to have a lot of money at the end of the year.
Okay, well, that's an interesting way to look at it. Most people, and I'm sure, you know, I'm not surprising you or me telling you, I always look at the win and don't really pay an awful lot of attention to the losses. But you're right; it can be a bigger factor than your wins. One last question at you. What have you got any recommendations to the people that are listening to this today about what they should or shouldn't do as far as this course is concerned?
Well, I think, if you're looking for an edge, it's all about edges. And I think even if you are another horse ventures or even have horses as pets, this is going to be a good course for you. But as a handicapper, with everybody pretty much doing everything the same, adding physicality to your game is going to make a big, big difference. And think about it this way. I've been playing for about 25 years. I can't put a price on how many times I thought a horse was on the fence when studying, but then had to be included based on the physical inspection or left out for the same reason. It's a very psychological game. Most good players fail not because they lack the skill, but because they have to overcome high takeouts and losing streaks that will break them. Imagine the positive benefit of knowing that you can break a tie between two choices by taking the better-looking animal or the boost of saving money when you notice a top choice won't run their best today. The potential is limitless.
Wow. Okay. Well, Harry, listen, I really appreciate you spending this few minutes with us today. And listen, if there's anything I can ever do for you, you give me a call, okay?
Sure.
All right. Okay, Harry, thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay, you satisfied with everything we covered there?
Yeah, I was wondering, if about the estimated projected winnings.
If there's something else you'd like to add in, we can do that. I can edit it in.
Well, I remember what you're saying about the value. So I was thinking maybe if we could add the question about the estimated value over a period of time.
Okay.
You know, I did a couple of rough numbers, you know, based on what you mentioned yesterday. I mean, if the average person, let's say, is hitting 35% of the time average or mutual seven by increasing it a few points on both sides, you know.
Right. Okay.
You know,
well, let me
ask. You could add a lot of money, but I don't know if we should add that in or not. But it's up to you. I mean.
No. Yeah. Let's add it. I'll ask you the question. And
put a dollar amount on it. I mean, 100. Yeah, let's say you keep it simple. Person who spends $100,000 a year, you know,
okay,
just by a few points, they could add a lot of money to their game.
Okay. All right. Here goes the question, Harry. From a financial standpoint, for the serious or the amateur player, what kind of an impact can this course have on them?
Well, I think, you know, if I was to look at it for playing for a whole year, let's take a basic handicapper, you know, who might make 20 plays a week, at, let's say $100 a play. This typical handicapper might have a hit rate of 35% at an average mutual of $7. So for a year, you might spend $100,000 and expect to get back about $122,000. But by adding physicality with the results that I had in the test period, one could spend the same amount of money, $100,000, but perhaps get back $195,000. That is a big swing with just adding a few small tools to your game.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The last thing you said there was bet $100,000 and get back $190,000. Is that right?
Yeah, because, again, if a person just had to hit, if they just hit a few more, right?
Right.
At the average higher mutual. If over the long haul, it would be that much. I mean, it's not exact, right? Because you make 20 plays, right? But
right.
You know how it is.
Right. Well, that's
but sometimes cool. When people say, well, you know, if I get a $10 win instead of $7, how much of a difference is it? Well, over the whole call, it is, right?
Right. Okay. But, all right. Cool.
But I don't know.
Okay. Well, that number kind of surprised me, but very pleasantly. Anyway, okay. So, again, Harry, thank you very much.
No problem. If you want to do anything, just let me know.
All right. Cool. All right. I'll talk to you later, my friend.
Thank you much, Jeff.
All right. Bye.